Happy Thursday, and welcome to another edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple. We've turned the page from basketball. We are now full throttle spring football here as we were able to see some practice this week. We're going to go through our major headlines. If you're not a member, by the way, of HuskerOnline.com, we've got great spring practice coverage up on the site right now. We got a great way to try it out as well. Promo code NU1 will get you 2 months of action or access for $1. NU1, 2 months for $1. You can read Steve Sipple for a buck. It's the best deal you're going to get, by the way.
Not today, but I mean, I gotta do a little better at practice, but okay.
The head coach got after you a little bit today.
Yeah, he did. I don't know
if he said something on one of these shows, and he gave Sipple a little bit of a hard time about it, but he did come back at you with he liked your Yingling shirt, which I knew he would because he's from Pennsylvania. Philly considers a Philly guy. So, but let's get into headline number one. Okay. Spring ball begins this week. We were in there. Let's kind of go big picture, as Andy Candy and I like to say on Channel 7, broad brush, big picture.
Okay.
It was great to be in there and, you know, see that new facility and
whoa, it's sharp.
I mean, just it's like freakishly big, by the way. When you look at that weight room, and Fedoni said that, he's
insane. He said it's insane.
It's like almost too big.
Yeah. Yeah, you lose yourself in there. Yeah, it was good to be back there. I mean, I guess to me, it feels like everything's happening really quickly. Even though this was our first time at practice, this was the third practice of 15 this spring. So you get there and you just try. It's just like now you tell me, Sean, how you regard it, but it feels like a fire hose to me. Like you're just trying to take in so much.
Well, and then they limit your ability to watch
to about what?
20 minutes, 20 maybe minutes. 25.
Yeah.
And so then what ends up happening is they try to limit it, but what it does is it just, there's 100 people there.
100 media.
I mean, when you count the cameras and everybody, it's crazy how many people are in there just for that portion of it.
Yeah. So you're trying to watch a lot of different things. I did watch a quarterback passing drill to, I think it was the tight ends and fullbacks. Tight ends for sure. Lehman Tritt was in there.
On air.
So I watched that. I made sure Mazuka was there, Micah, because of Rule's February 8th comments about him. Like, he's got to understand the expectations at Nebraska. So I didn't know about what Mazuka's even his status was, but there he was, number 68. I mean, the quarterbacks looked okay. I mean, honestly, Sean, I would like to see him a little more accurate, but it's not that big of a deal. Because it's just, they're just throwing on air.
Yeah, and that's, I think people need to understand, the media doesn't get to watch any team drills, seven-on-seven drills, inside run. No, it's all... they call individual when you break up in your position groups and you do drills and stretch. And then that's what we see. And that is what 95, if not more percent of college football media groups see.
At practice.
Like,
absolutely.
We're not like out of the norm here. I mean, very few places you get to watch practice, and the places that let you watch practice, nobody cares.
That's
like
true. Yeah.
People, here people make lots of money on information out of practice.
Right.
I mean, it's an underground world of information to find things out that come out of practice. It's not like that everywhere else, but
what jumped out to you?
Just the feel of a year two. I mean, you can just tell everything looked comfortable for a lot of guys. There are a lot of new faces there too, though. And I mean, you really do need a roster over there because the number of people that are new, you have to identify who they all are. And there's not just scholarship. I mean, there's a lot of like new walk-on guys. I didn't know who they were.
Right.
Like there's a set of brothers named the Kitchen Brothers from Miami. I didn't know who they were.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I mean, there's just, and I,
the what brothers,
the kit, their last name was Kitchen.
Kitchen.
And they're, one's a DB and one's a running back. Who are these guys? I mean, there's just a lot of new walk-on faces, scholarship guys. I mean, and there are going to be some walk-on stories that emerge. I mean, I know one guy they're high on for the future is Grant Segrin from Oakland Craig. I mean, he's made huge physical gains.
Okay.
But you'll see a few of those kind of walk-on things emerge for maybe two deep in the down the road reps. I like that O-line group, though. I think they've got a lot there. One thing Rule did say is he's not going to really practice his veterans that much in the spring. And that's, you know, they're going to, guys like Ty Robinson, Nash Huttmacher, they're going to be smart with what they do with those guys.
Yeah. He mentioned Penn State. That's what kind of Paterno did, that they've had all the reps they need. They know what they're doing. So limit them a little bit, keep them fresh for August. Yeah, it was. Now people are going to say, well, you guys have made it pretty far in this video without mentioning Dylan Raiola.
We'll do that in the offensive headlines. Okay. We'll hold that.
Okay. Hold Dylan Raiola. So yeah, I'm with you. It was, I did think, now that you mentioned it, it did, it seemed like there was a maybe fewer coaches, coaching personnel, coaches slash personnel. Maybe that was my perception. Maybe not. They might have trimmed a little bit there.
And that's something that's
what
going to change, though.
Am I full of it?
No, it's the same.
Oh, it's the same.
Okay. I mean, there's a rule, though, that they're going to vote on this summer or soon, this spring, where you can have unlimited, you know, your analysts and your GAs and your quality control people will be able to be coaches.
Okay.
And so if they do that, you'll see more of an NFL model. And the coaches are fully behind this. So you could have an O-line coach and an assistant O-line coach, a linebackers coach, an assistant linebackers coach.
And pay them.
And pay them. And they have that model now, but they have to kind of camouflage it. And they're limited. They have to be careful because every situation is different. Every compliance department is different. But Coach Rule did say that will be for the good of the game, because you're going to be able to give your lower level linemen and linebackers more coaching, more reps, more teaching, more instruction.
Right.
Legally.
I've always found it to be a curious part of college football, why you would limit a staff to 10 full-time members.
Because of the group of five and the FCS.
So it's not an uneven playing field.
I mean, what is going to happen, and it's already happening, the power leagues are just going to grow their staffs by more, and they'll have more six-figure positions, and the lower leagues won't be able to compete. So if you can get an on-the-field job as an assistant position coach at a hired job, you're going to take it.
Yep. Other things we saw, like Satterfield, there he is. No, is that?
That's Glenn Thomas. Glenn
Thomas. Satterfield's coaching the tight ends, purely coaching the tight ends. And Fedoni said he's incredibly sharp, incredibly gifted coach, and can coach the tight ends in a manner that, for instance, in a manner that's very micro, like he was yelling at him. I like this, by the way. His emphasis was speed through the ball. Speed through the ball. Catch it on the run. I mean, and have your pads low. Speed through the ball. I like that. Fedoni also said that Satterfield obviously has that big, broad, you know, he has a very, he thinks like an offensive coordinator. So the tight ends benefit from that. I didn't get a chance much. I didn't watch much of the quarterbacks. I just didn't.
Well, I mean, they just threw on air.
Right.
And
there's not much you can see.
I'm not going to get too excited. I've seen Dylan Raiola and Daniel Kalen and Heinrich Harburg throw a lot.
Right.
So watching them throw to Roman Mangini on air is not going to, you know, and we like sound old and cynical here, but.
Oh, not too bad.
But I'm going to, you have to be careful. You can't go in there and there are amateur people that don't go to football practice, and they get really taken back. They'll write way more than they need to write off of like a pass completed on air.
Right.
I'm not going to do that.
No, I hear you.
And you're not either. I know that.
No. But there are still things you can see. I mean, I think it's valuable.
It's eyeballing guys.
Yeah.
It's looking at body types. It's looking at, I like to know who's hurt. I mean, like we saw right away,
Sean Singleton
was out, and you know, a number of other players. And you almost have to take a picture just to like write down the name. I mean, there's a number of guys in green and a number of guys in yellow. The green are practicing. So like Malachi Coleman, Francois Umanyelen, Maverick Noonan, they're in green. So they're limited, but they're going through some drills.
Yeah.
Yellow guys are more in a rehab mode and they're on the other field. Like Brody Tagovailoa, he's out.
Yeah, he's going to be out. He's not. He won't practice this spring.
He's gained a lot of weight. He's bigger when you see him.
He looks big. Deshaun Singleton won't. Didn't Rule say he won't practice this spring?
Gabe Irvin Jr. will not practice this spring. So the number of guys, you know, will be coming back from different situations.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So US Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus.
But let's get into headline two.
Okay.
And before we get into headline number two on the offense, Husker Online Headlines brought to you by one of our great sponsors, nuts.com. And we got LinkedIn SIP with nuts.com back in the fall. Didn't know much about them. Immediately, they took over the office. We got some Robinson packages sent over here. We've reordered three times probably. And every time, some of these things don't last a day. I mean, you'll be blown away by the quality, great pricing as well. And, you know, the pantry staples, not just nuts, lots of other snack items and things that you can get at nuts.com. And the pricing is very competitive, very reasonable. And we've got a great deal. If you've never tried nuts.com, we got a deal for our Husker Online listeners here for first-time orders. Spend $29. They're going to give you free shipping. And use the promo code Husker. Go to nuts.com/Husker. They will give you a free gift as well. That's spend $29, free shipping at nuts.com/Husker. And you'll receive that free gift as well. Just don't let Steve Sipple buy your nuts.com.
Sean, I've never contemplated the term pantry staple until you just said it. But
I can't take credit for that high-level writing. That's on the script notes.
It's a pantry staple. There's some pantry staples that are pretty good, and it is. This food is fresh, which I appreciate.
They pack it fresh.
It's packaged very well. It's packaged handsomely. It's a great gift, and it's a great thing to have in your pantry.
Or your office.
Or your car. Yeah, maybe your car. Yeah, anywhere really.
I need to check your bag to make sure you're not taking them out of here. But all right, let's get into headline number two. Offensive headlines, storylines that we've kind of want to discuss here that have come out of spring ball. Let's get quarterbacks right away. Dylan Raiola, spotlight's going to be on him. You know, I did find it not interesting, but notable how Matt Rhule said, yeah, Hiner Carberg took the first reps. He's a veteran. He started the most games last year. That's how they're always going to do it. And, you know, I think we all expect Raiola to have a really good chance to be the guy, but having Harburg be the first quarterback out is the right move right now.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You can't just give it to Raiola or even Kay. You got to let those guys win it.
No, but here's what's going on though. They're practicing on three different fields. So all of them are getting, all the quarterbacks are getting a lot of reps, and who takes which reps with what team, the first, second, or third team can change based on how you're playing. So, you know, we'll see how we won't see because we don't see much practice, but it would be interesting tomorrow or not tomorrow, Tuesday. The next time they practice this Tuesday to see who's taking the first reps. It would be. We used to do that when Bill Callahan opened spring ball. You'd look every day. Okay, who's taking the first rep? Who's taking the first snaps? Now, Rhule did say something I thought that was newsworthy. And Mitch Sherman of The Athletic asked him, what do you want from these young quarterbacks, these two scholarship quarterbacks, two freshman scholarship quarterbacks? What do you want from them by the end of spring? He said, Rhule said, I want them to be ready to start. We only have three. I mean, it's a very pragmatic answer, but he said it. I want those guys to be ready to start. And he said, I don't know that they will start, but I want them to be ready.
It's a much different situation than a year ago. They had six scholarship quarterbacks active on the spring roster. Now, two of them were out, Casey Thompson and Logan Smothers, but you had Jeff Sims, you had Chubby Purdy, you had Heinrich Harburg.
Right.
And then I'm missing one more in there of the six scholarship guys.
Don't do this to me. Heinrich, Chuba.
Logan
Casey. Smothers.
Well, there were six. Now I'm blanking on what the repetitions. The repetitions were tough to manage
to get the quarterbacks the necessary repetitions to develop properly. That will not be a problem this spring, right?
No, and with just three, everyone's going to get really, really good live reps, and you'll have a good read on each one of these guys. And
absolutely.
And I think last year, the situation was so limited, they just kind of had to force Jeff Sims in. I don't think they anticipated Harburg to ever be the starter last year at this time. And they knew Chubba Purdy had ability, but he was always nicked.
Well, he was banged up. Yeah.
Always.
That was part of it. So, yeah, they kind of, you're right. When you look back at it, they did kind of have to thrust Sims in there. It was Sims's job pretty much
the first week.
Yeah. Starting job. So that's not, you know, you're 100% right. It is a way different feel this year. There's a battle.
There's going to be a moment like in a scrimmage. You're going to see Harburg start out a scrimmage. Then they're going to switch it up and go, all right, Raul, you're in. How's he going to do with the ones?
Yeah. That's the big question.
You know, it's tough to evaluate a quarterback in a scrimmage when he's with the twos or the threes because your personnel is not as good. But,
right.
You know, how will they manage those one reps with those quarterbacks? Because you want to see Raiola and Kalen get an opportunity with Jamal Banks, with Isaiah Nayor, with some of the top guys, with Fedoni.
With the one line.
Because you just won't get the same picture with the twos and the threes. And that will be what Matt Rhule and that offensive staff have to kind of figure out over the course of spring.
Oh, yeah.
How to manage those script. You get two of them, two big ones where you can go 100+ plays in each scrimmage.
God, this is where I do the thing every year where I take you back, Sean. I kind of remember we used to watch those scrimmages. Man, would that be nice.
Coach Rhule, we know you catch us sometimes. Just give us one scrimmage.
Osborne.
For the good of the media coverage.
Yeah, and I'm not doing this thing where Frank did it and Osborne did it and I guess Callahan did it and Riley did it. I'm not doing that. They did, though. They let us watch a lot. And Tom's scrimmages, people don't mind us reminiscing a little bit. Sean, you know how many games in March Madness I'd miss because I was covering a
Saturday scrimmage,
3-hour scrimmage that had 200+ plays. And back in the day when they had, I don't know, 175 players on the roster and people cared in this market about the fifth string fullback. You couldn't leave the scrimmage. If a fifth string running back broke one, that was news.
They kept stats at them.
Kept stats.
Like they're, I can remember Jeff Griesch would be up there and they'd stat track a scrimmage.
Yep. Oh, it was, and now there wasn't nearly as many media, and that's probably why we don't see them anymore.
I was the only digital guy around back then.
Yeah,
I mean it was all print.
Remember that those were long Saturdays, but you learned so much. Oh,
like you felt like accomplished. Like, all right,
yeah, I know this team. Nowadays, it's harder to get to know the team, and who's playing what and who's playing well. It's really challenging.
Yeah, no, I miss those days. I'll never forget the Bill Callahan scrimmage where Zach Taylor was 05.
Did we see that one? Yes.
And it was 3.5 hours long. And he was sacked 8 times live.
Yeah. And he had a broken tooth or something.
He had the flu.
Oh, what, really? And he was bleeding.
He was sick the day before and that was when he won the job over Joe Daly.
Yep.
Then Harrison Beck got in that summer and, you know, was back, kind of put to the back burner. But at one point you thought Harrison Beck would come in and maybe have a chance as a freshman. Then you quickly learned he had no chance. Nope. I mean, he just wasn't ready, you know, at the maturity level to step into that situation. But all right, let's go. Headline number three, defensive storylines early on. Nash Hutmacher was back out there.
Yeah, that's been,
you know, he just wrestled.
That was a big thing. Like he wrestled last week and he was back at, he was in practice on Monday.
What's his weight? I wonder.
Oh, Rhule said it's 310.
310. Okay.
So Rhule said he's up to, I mean, Rhule says it fluctuates. When we do that thing with the weight, I always laugh because when I boxed, people would ask me my weight. I mean, it might be 95 one part of the day and 102 the
last. Yeah. If you part skip a few meals and do a couple things different with you could men can drop weight quickly.
Yeah, anyway, but Rhule said that Nash is 310, which is a good weight. I did catch Nash in a couple drills and he just looks fabulous. I mean, he looks incredible. I mean, that wrestling does not hurt you.
Tanner Farmer.
Yeah, Tanner Farmer was a good example. So you know one guy that came to spring practice in great shape. Now there's a lot of them, but Nash certainly did. I mean, so that was great to see.
Now, one guy that didn't come in great shape was linebacker Stephon Thompson. And this was Matt Rhule's words, not my words. The transfer from Syracuse, played for Tony White, had never been a part of their offseason program. I think for Stephon, there's been an adjustment getting him up to speed, and it sounds like he's a ways off from being a factor.
Oh, boy. That's an inside linebacker. They list him at 6'1", 250. Rule, his comments about Stephon Thompson were very similar to his comments about Micah Mazzucca in February. Very similar. Now, Mazzucca apparently is kind of dug his way out a little bit. Rule, did you hear what Rule was saying about Mazzucca today? What he made a very important distinction. He kept saying he loves to be on the football field. I mean, he excels on the field of play. And I think the message was he's got to get better in the weight room and all the other
attitude
things. Yeah, all the other things. So yeah, Rule, you were talking about this off air. Rule's very honest, very blunt about guys who aren't getting it done. Why do you think that is?
I think he likes to use the media as a tool to challenge people.
Yeah.
And he's very good at it. Like, he's as comfortable on that podium as I've seen a Nebraska coach.
Yeah, and you also mentioned something too that he doesn't want us, the media, to put false expectations out there, which we are wont to do. I mean, we will do that. And there's certain players that we've done it to that weren't ready.
And it destroys the kid mentally.
It can.
Yeah. I mean, there's the rare exception where like a Wandale Robinson mm-hmm. is like the real deal the minute they get here. That's like 1 out of 100 though.
Yeah. Well, I know this. It often just doesn't. We, the media, write something glowing about a player who's really not that good.
Like Maurice Washington was a rare exception, like how he came in immediately and just dominated.
Yeah, he did.
And you generally know at certain positions right away on guys.
Pretty much.
But like other ones, some can take some time and development. And, you know, big thing for some of these guys like Stephon Thompson or any newcomer, that's never been through a winter at Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
The winter program, and then even the spring, it's different than most places they had been. So for these guys that joined the team last summer that weren't a part of the winter, that weren't a part of the spring, I do think it's been an adjustment for some of these players at Nebraska going into this next year.
Yeah, it was really interesting what Rule said about Stephon Thompson. And when you look over the course of time, you've covered how many coaches, head coaches. You've never heard that from anybody. Times have changed. You didn't hear that much.
Yeah, and with NIL and the portal, I mean, sometimes you're worried about guys, but now I don't think coaches are worried because guys are just going to leave anyway.
Well, and also they're employees now. They're getting paid. I mean, Stephon Thompson is how old do you think he is?
He's a fourth or fifth year guy.
Probably 22 years old, like an NFL player. I mean, same age as an NFL player, and he came here for money. I know as a coach, I'd be less hesitant to criticize.
He picked Nebraska over Florida State.
See, I'd be less hesitant to criticize because he's not a kid.
If he's getting $100,000 or something.
Yeah, he's not a kid. He's probably making six figures. Why is he? What I don't want to hear is you guys kind of hard on those kids. Well, first of all, he's not a kid. And second of all, he's making more than I am.
I mean, when the guy gets his school paid for, gets his housing paid for, gets his food paid for, gets a stipend still from the university and another $100,000 or whatever the numbers are from the collective.
Yeah, you're getting about 150 grand.
There. I mean, you're living high on the hog.
For a college kid. Yeah. For a college kid. So yeah, it's that part of Rule is, here's the thing about Rule that as long as he's here, we'll always appreciate. He's very illuminating. Like, it's easy to cover this program right now. Don't ever take that for granted. Because, I mean, I wrote one quarterback story today. I mean, I'm sitting there listening to my tape going, you know, I could write four stories out of this, probably. Four stories. You know, which maybe you'd say, well, go do it then.
And he went 20 minutes.
20 minutes. We got a lot of information. A lot of information.
Yeah, and the new media room makes it really easy. It's comfortable.
It's comfortable.
You have a table. You're plugged in.
Yeah, like a college classroom.
I mean, think about previous setups we've had to kind of cover. I mean,
about COVID when it was like
Zoom.
Oh, Zoom. I guess it wasn't COVID.
Outdoor.
Maybe the
outdoor interviews.
The outdoor interviews. Oh my God. It was freezing. Remember?
Yeah. Cause we had to be safe.
Yeah.
Did I get you? Did I get you? We were safe though.
Yeah. It was freezing.
All right. Anyway. We're going to get ourselves in trouble here.
Yeah, you are.
Let's move it on. Headline number four. It's been a busy week for Nebraska's new athletic director, Troy Dannon.
Wow.
You talk about number one, he just got through, obviously, his press conference, the NCAA tournaments for both teams. He was in Corvallis. He was in Memphis.
And what's today?
Today's Thursday.
And you know what today is? They're meeting about the
facility.
Yeah, the stadium renovation project.
Do you anticipate that being a long meeting?
Yes. I kind of do, yeah. There's a lot of people involved.
I have so many questions.
Do you anticipate being a short meeting?
I have so many questions on this stadium project, like the money that they committed to the Nebraska Philanthropic Trust. You know, it's $5.5 million or whatever. Like, are they still going to get that money if they stop this project? I mean, there's a lot of things that were put into place last year when this thing got green lit without a president in place that, you know, you wonder. Like,
well, here's the thing to keep in mind, and I'm talking to myself at this point. It's not just going to be Troy Dannon unilaterally making a decision on what to do. There's a lot of people involved in this. There's been a lot of people that have been involved for 2.5 years. I mean, high level architects, donors that have helped with the planning process. I don't think it would be I don't think it would be a good.
Can you just?
I don't think it'd be wise for him to go in there and just say, "Okay, this is what we're going to be doing."
Can they just pause it and just say, "Hey, we're putting this on hold, and we'll come back to it"? Or do you need to do something of some kind?
Well, I'm just gonna try to kind of wriggle my way out of this a little bit, because I just said the AD shouldn't go in there and just say this is what we're going to do, when in fact that's his job. So I understand that. But I think that he has to read the room. I think he has to see what the key players want, what they think. And boy, wouldn't it be interesting to know that? Because you and I think, are aligned in that a pause makes sense to me, and throwing fewer dollars at it makes sense to me.
Do you think the key players want a left tackle or brick and mortar?
Well, can you have both is the question.
But if you're a key player now and you see what Nebraska's making from the Big Ten and the revenue deals and the other things going forward, should the common fan have to pay for stadium infrastructure? That's the other debate. Well,
the common fan might not be paying for it.
But should your
well-heeled fans.
Your biggest boosters, have they ever had to pay for, you know, the skyboxes are one thing, but true infrastructure building at that level?
Right. And you know, what you're referring to is this battle between NIL and raising $225 million private.
And then private. $125 would come out of Nebraska's pot. And then we still don't, Trev never still told us where the other $125 was coming from. And that they were going to explore financing or explore other things there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan, and I think, shot that down right away, that borrowing money right now,
interest rate
at 8%
or whatever it is,
you know, whatever you get for a loan like that is not ideal.
So this is what's being talked about today. What we're talking about, I don't know how it is going to go, but was it informative to you that, now I was told, don't read into that Dannon didn't know anything about the project. I was told by a Nebraska official, that didn't mean anything. I mean, it might not even have been true. He might have known about it a little bit.
Oh, he has to know something.
Yeah. So, listen, I would have loved to have been in that meeting to see how he took all this information in. Was he just quiet? Did he sit back and take it all in? Did he give some of his input right out of the chute? How would you approach that as a new AD? I don't know.
Well, and I'd like to get studies, like who has recently done these things? What have they spent? Mm-hmm. Who's got projects like this coming in the horizon? What are they going to spend?
Arrowhead.
Get, well, We're not talking about a pro team that's going to go to a ballot where the public has to pay for it.
Right. True.
Totally different situations.
Yeah, it is.
To compare this to Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah, we could do that. I mean, this could be an off-season project for us just to see. Are there other stadium projects going on now? In recent years, what's that looked like?
This is where I miss Steve Rosen. He had to take a leave. He was our sports business guy, and I would give him these projects, and he would just go to town on this.
Right. Yeah, that would have been good.
Maybe I'll reach out to Steve and say, can you give us one more?
Yeah.
But he took away. He's been busy with personal stuff. But yeah, those were great, you know, reads on things just to get an idea of what's going on
right
elsewhere.
So yeah, the Dannon story was pretty monumental. So now he rolls up his sleeves and goes to work, which another thing about him was really informative from that press conference, what Chris Kaborik, the interim president of Nebraska, said that Dannon, I was impressed by this, by the way, that Kaborik asked him, when do you want to start working? He's right now, right now.
And they did
right now. How about that? I mean, because there's a lot of people, you know, that they start a job. How about a couple of weeks? Give me a couple of weeks.
Well, and NIL, as we know, is going to be a priority. And I believe
changed, didn't it?
I believe with Matt Rhule, he has always wanted it to be a priority. And you're going to see Matt Rhule, I think, get more aggressive on that front, because that's a separator. Nebraska's got to get up there with some of their NIL and their commitment towards it.
They're pretty far up there, though.
They're pretty far up there.
They're a top 20 NIL operation.
But the top tier, you know, you have programs supposedly pushing over 20 million now.
Nebraska's probably in the range of
closer to 5 to 10 range.
Okay. Okay.
But you got to have a roster worthy of that kind of money, too. But Ohio State just didn't rebuild their whole roster in the offseason for chicken scratch.
Right. Isn't it sort of a chicken and egg conversation, though? You build a $20 million roster by bringing in
players
worthy talent. Yeah,
you don't just overpay players.
No.
You could pay this roster $20 million, but it would be a waste of money.
The reason you brought this up is because the new AD quickly embraced 1890, going so far as to say, "I will wear 1890 gear as much as I wear Husker gear," which is a stark contrast to the previous AD, who would barely acknowledge 1890.
And it was weird. I never understood it.
We've talked about this, but go ahead.
Just because I think he really thought it was going to go in-house and they would have total control. And it might, but it's still a ways away.
Might be a couple years away.
And so what needs to happen is you need to have your collective fully operating. And then when that day comes, it will just kind of merge over.
Mm-hmm.
And then the schools can get directly involved with paying players. But there just had been so much interference and confusion out there the last few years. You know, like Nebraska in-house hired a director of NIL, and it made it seem like he was the guy running. No, 1890 was still running the collective and doing things. Nebraska created a second collective out there that never actually functioned and operated, but
never got off the ground.
They had fundraising links for it next to 1890 on Nebraska's website.
It made no sense.
It made no sense when the people that were paying your athletes were being treated equals as a collective that wasn't even operating
yet. And let's face it, the media portrayed a inaccurate picture. I mean, I was asked on a radio show, Sip, do you believe Nebraska's collective is holding it back? And I said, there couldn't be anything further from the truth.
And that's just underground message board BS that gets brought into the mainstream.
What the hell that is? Where's that come from? I was asked on a prominent radio station in Omaha, do you believe that the collective is holding Nebraska back? And what I said was, no, that's the least of Nebraska's concerns.
I think we know what was holding it back now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nobody in the country that would get in the way of what Nebraska had.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. And I know Coach Rhule is very excited about
About 1890
and being more aggressive.
Right.
You know, the coaches weren't even allowed to make tweets to support the collective.
That's really revealing. Really revealing and really sad.
There were coaches that wanted to make tweets, not football, basketball, can we make a tweet to support 1890 to help our program? And they were told they couldn't.
Very odd. And you start to wonder if there was if the AD was reaching out to some media and trying to play it, you know, instructing them to play it down. I don't know where like a question like that comes from. I almost fell off my chair when I was asked.
I always looked at it as like, I understand who the Pede family is and what they're given and what they're going to do for the NIL. And like, I don't know why anybody, and I told you this the day they announced it, right? I go, this is the collective. It's going to be what's going to happen. And it exactly is what happened
the day it was announced. Now, why do we get wound up about this? We better explain. Here's why. Because this is how you get talent and retain talent. This is not small. This might be the most important element of all right now. I mean, this is player. You're procuring players with this entity. It is, I don't know, it might be the most important element of all. That's what I'd say.
And it was a funny, our colleague Amy Justin.
Am I crazy?
We were talking about this, and she's like, 10, 20 years from now, we're going to look back at this and like, wow, what were they doing?
Yeah.
Like, why would you not just say, let's get this thing going instead of trying to create a collective to run against it with people that have no experience in a collective?
Right.
Or fundraising.
Yeah, Amy's probably right. It feels very odd and awkward and obtuse. But it is what it is. It is. This is what you have in place. So Matt Rhule as a leader, Troy Dannon as a leader, this is what you have. So you deal with it right now and be ready for the change. Be quick on your feet.
Yeah, it will be interesting just to see how much that ramps up, even like at the spring game and some other things out there.
1890.
Yeah, just how much more they push out it.
Because
right now, 1890, they were paying for their advertising, they're paying in the stadium for announcements, that they're paying for that. They weren't getting that for free. So the people that are paying your players had to pay to announce.
And like, we don't really know why, except we kind of know why.
So on Huskers.com, there's a billboard at the top, like a ribbon thing that you can advertise. And they paid for that.
And that's, now, people are watching and going, why?
Yeah, so that for Dan and I think NIL stadium, those are the biggest things this week that we learned.
NIL and stadium.
From the coaching perspective on this job, he doesn't have much to worry about. I mean, basketball coaches got new contracts. Rhule is obviously Rhule. John Cook. Will Bolt's having a great season. So I think the day-to-day of your programs, Trev left that in great shape.
He did.
I mean, John Walker got soccer really going. Yeah,
Trev did a good job.
The track program. I mean, the programs are in great shape here. Football's the one that hasn't been lately. I mean, they're hopefully going to get there, but you can't complain about where the programs are right now.
Not really. Trev, by and large, did a good job. He just left after.
I mean, softball was poised to have a huge year before the Jordy Ball injury.
Right. So, yeah, very, very interesting discussion. But Dannon's on the job. He's working. He's meeting today about a massive stadium project.
Okay, final headline. Headline number 5, Nebraska basketball and the transfer portal watch begins. 4 Husker players now have gone in the portal. Ramil Lloyd, Blaze Cada, Eli Rice,
and
CJ Wilcher. So 4 guys, pretty notable guys. Some of them, Eli Rice and Wilcher, fairly notable names.
Yep.
But now the question is, who will Nebraska go after in the portal?
Well, now there's one other question. Are they retaining everybody else? I mean, Bryce Williams, Rink Mast, Jamarcus Lawrence, Juwan Gary. Are those guys staying? This is a critical period for Fred, because it's not a deadlock cinch that the guys that we just rattled off are staying. I think there was a level of surprise that Eli Rice left, right? And even a little surprise that Wilcher left.
You'd like to drill in and kind of get an understanding why, like, Eli Rice left.
Yeah.
But they're out working. I mean, Frankie Fiddler from Bellevue West and Omaha, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. I like to say UNO still, by the way, even though
it's okay.
You're Omaha. Do you go UNO, Omaha?
I tend to go Nebraska, Omaha.
Nebraska, Omaha.
Yeah.
Fiddler, great, kind of another version of Wilcher.
Okay.
They have him. They've had him on campus this week.
Yep.
Fred Hoiberg was out watching one of the top JUCO players in the country, Malik Ewan.
Okay.
Has a little bit of baggage from previous places, but 6'10", 6'11", athletic big. They were out watching him.
That's what you're, I mean, you're looking for that. You're looking for a shooter, and you're looking for that for sure. Like a Case A replacement and then a big. I mean, they're going to add more than two, but those are critical positions.
Yeah.
And so, Sean, the watch, I can't emphasize enough. Watch Mast, watch Bryce Williams, watch Jamarcus Lawrence, watch Juwan Gary. Do those guys stick? Does your core stick? You know, God, that's, I mean, if I know this, if I'm the head coach, I mean, I'm just maybe a little nervous. Like, okay, guys.
That's where 1890 or your collective has to get involved.
God, 100.
And
100.
You know, they got Derek Walker to stay a couple years ago.
They did. That's what I'm, that's exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about the importance. It almost goes without saying, but there's the only way you're keeping those guys is to pay them quite a bit. And by the way, it's a smart play for those guys after the loss to Texas A&M not to say that they're definitely going to be back. Why would you do that? You got some bargaining power, right? Why say you're coming back? Make Nebraska sweat. Make NIL a bigger deal. Use it as leverage. Use your success as leverage.
I do think, though, with the way they played this year and the NIL that they have access to, I mean, Nebraska can do some damage. They can get some players.
Sean, I've been saying this on my radio show all week. Think about Nebraska's positioning right now. They locked in Fred with a long-term contract. So there's no questions about the coach. Okay? You were at PBA, especially late in the season, when it was one of the best environments of all of basketball.
Top 10 in the country in attendance.
Okay. You're in the Big Ten, power player. You have a core of guys coming back. This should be in a very alluring place for a player. Very alluring. It's not, you know, granted, it's not Kansas. It's not a North Carolina, blue blood, UConn. But I would think you can reel in somebody good at this situation. No, there's really, I mean, if Fred was still not signed to an extension and you had that to wonder about, it's a little different picture to me. But man, it can't be hard for Nebraska's coaches to sell this situation to prospective players.
And I would love to know that extension talk. Like, did Kaborik do all of that, or did Trev begin any of it? Like, I would love
Dennis LeBlanc. He was the interim AD.
Did Dennis LeBlanc begin that discussion?
You wonder.
Or,
well, here's what began the discussion. Is my inkling is Michigan began the discussion because they came after Fred.
They at least,
okay,
kick the tires.
Yeah.
Well, they hired Fred's better than the Florida Atlantic guy Michigan hired. I'll just say that. If I'm asking who I'd take,
I don't want to get in an argument about this, but Dusty May went to the Final Four.
Yes.
I took Florida Atlantic to the Final Four. You want to back off a little bit? Took Florida. They won 34 games at Florida Atlantic.
Okay.
34. They won 29 this year. I mean, that's pretty good.
I thought Michigan should have went after Darren DeVries from Drake. And West Virginia got him. Iowa fans are pretty upset because I think that's who they wanted to replace Fran McCaffrey.
I know, but you know what I tell Iowa fans? Why can't you go get him at West Virginia?
After Fran's done.
Yeah. If I'm Darren, it's pronounced
DeVries.
Darian. It's Darian, by the way.
It's Darren.
No.
I know him.
I'm just saying it. He spells it D-A-R.
I know, but it's pronounced Darren.
Okay.
My wife was his son's kindergarten teacher.
Okay. Darren.
Been in his house before. Darren DeVries.
It's spelled D-A-R-I-N.
It's not Darian, though. It's not. It's Darren. He goes by Darren. It's a tricky.
Anyway.
It's tricky.
What I would, if I was his agent, I'd say, take the West Virginia job. Iowa come and get you. You know, Iowa have to come and get you. You know, take the money. Don't turn your back.
When Iowa could outspend West Virginia.
Yeah, well, I think so. West Virginia's got a lot of money.
Now, his son.
They're a major. Speaking of NIL, West Virginia, major player in NIL. Major player.
Tucker DeVries in the portal, his son.
He's going with him.
And he'll go with him, probably. Yeah. Kind of a Doug McDermott, Greg McDermott type deal when you look at.
We got off track on Darren DeVries.
Darian, Jordine, Ramir. I mean, we got them all. We just go through the whole lineup of Steve Sipple names.
Darian.
Kai Wallin. That's another one.
I do think his name is Kai Wallin, but it's apparently
Waylon.
Waylon. Okay.
I already know the answer. Did you fill out a bracket?
No.
I knew you didn't.
No.
Like, when's the last time you've done a true bracket?
I would say 1989.
You're kidding me. Like, you've never just
No. It just seems like a waste of time.
Well, I do one every year. Yeah. My mom is a retired teacher, and there's a teacher at her school that runs like
big pool.
Yeah, it's like $5 or $10. And I've done the same pool since I was like 8.
It's kind of fun. I track the tournament.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone right now has pretty good brackets right now. That's my hot take. I mean, Kentucky is probably the only team that messed up a lot of people. But
you think about that one.
I mean, I think I have 7 of the 8 elite 8 remaining.
And that's pretty good.
4 of the 4 still remaining in the final 4. But that's pretty common. Wait a second.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's not that hard, though, when it's UConn, Purdue.
Well, you don't name all. You don't have to name all the 16, but
UConn's going to win it.
Think so?
I mean, they looked good.
Yeah.
Purdue, I just don't. Edie's going to have to really have a monster game.
The reason I hesitate just to crown anybody is because it's such a wide open field. If you recall, Creighton hammered UConn in Omaha. I mean, hammered. So it's not a year like that, in my opinion, Sean. All due respect to your vast basketball knowledge, I don't. It's a wide open field.
Creighton, they could make the Final Four.
Yes, they could. Creighton plays Tennessee.
I mean, they played not their best game, and they beat Oregon.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't shoot it at a high level against Oregon.
They did not. They did not. That was a tough game. Oregon had a couple guys. And Creighton had 4 or 5, and that was the difference. Oregon, I can't name the two guys. I'm not going to try. I watched the game. I can't name them because I can't pronounce them. But they had two guys score basically all their points. Creighton is balanced. Creighton is well coached. I mean, that is I don't mind. People are going to kill me for saying it on a Nebraska podcast. But, man, it's hard not to be impressed with McDermott.
They run a system. I mean, they run, I mean, like in football, like a Chip Kelly offense or something, where you just have to like.
Yeah. They get it up the court is what they do. And
if you're not set,
they'll
take points.
Yeah, they will.
And they did it in Lincoln.
Let it fly.
They're the only team that won in Lincoln this year.
Yep.
And they kicked Nebraska's butt here.
They won by 29.
Yeah. Dana Altman, by the way, has he aged? I mean, he looks, for a guy that's like pushing 70.
Oh, yeah, maybe not then. Yeah. Still got his hair. That's what you're talking about mainly.
We'll see his brother Dirk.
Beatrice.
He's a Nebraska football, like he loves Nebraska. He played for Nebraska, his brother did with my dad.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we'll see Dirk. He's a Creighton, Oregon, Nebraska. Cheers for all three.
Well, Oregon did a good job. I mean, they pushed Creighton into double overtime. And he obviously has a pretty good team. It was an 11 seed. It was an 11 versus 3, so you wouldn't have expected it quite like it was, but they looked pretty evenly matched.
Well, lots to keep up with. Spring practice will ramp back up. Big Ten baseball opens for Nebraska this weekend. There are 3 games at Northwestern, so you'd like to see at least a series win, obviously, in Evanston, maybe even a sweep. I mean, it's hard to know on these conference weekend series. They lost a big game against Kansas State due to weather this week. Would have loved to see that midweek game happen. But we'll have full coverage of that as well on Husker Online. Again, try us out 2 months for $1. Simply use promo code NU1 to take advantage of this great offer we have at Husker Online. For Steve Sipple, I'm Sean Callahan signing off for another edition of Husker Online Headlines.